I then have on that coin a character, an image, impressed by the die. That is what character means. So the idea of object in the real world in form is of original to copy. The form exists in our mind. Now think this is very clever. He has gone back to those earlier Greek thinkers who have said ratiocination, thought, mind, is actually the active energetic agent here. But there are real things out there in the world, confusing and unlike and complex though they may be, that conform in some sense, to this idea that is in our mind. Now, such knowledge as we have of the form is true knowledge. Everything else, Plato says, is mere opinion. Plato spells this out for us as clearly as he ever does in the myth of the cave, or the allegory of the cave, from his Republic. Perhaps you've heard this story before, perhaps not, but it bears repeating. Imagine a cave. You have a group of people who are chained down in the cave, and they are in a place of relative darkness. Behind them, and perhaps above them, there is a sort of a pathway, a passageway, a walkway. In front of them, there is a great wall. Now, up near that passageway, there is a fire, a light source. And up there, various people are moving back and forth and carrying various objects. And they are projecting onto this wall in front of these people who are chained in the cave, images. But, of course, shadows. This is Plato's image for the way we function in the real world. We see shadows, we see hints, we see suggestions, we see intimations. But those people are up there on the pathway. They are carrying real things around. Reality exists, but it is not in what we actually see around us. This is not for fault of our knowledge. It's not for fault of our senses. It's because the nature of reality in the world around us is as copy to original. Plato has moved truth, he has moved reality to a transcendent realm. He imagines, for example, that if a person were to come up out of the cave and actually to see one of these things, one of these forms, for the first time, sort of really, wouldn't recognize it. You wouldn't know what it was. You'd never seen it that way before. Platonisms are more familiar to us than we might think. When St. Paul says, now we see as but through the glass darkly, then face to face. That is pure Plato. He's talking to his contemporaries in language they understand. Here, nothing is finally real or true. There, all is real and true. Then we will understand. Now, we do not. This is exactly the way Plato made his point. So he has salvaged reality, and he has salvaged our capacity to communicate something about reality, but the price he paid for that was to move that reality to an abstract world, to a transcendent world. Now, for purposes of discussion, you know, we could use a couple of examples. We could go back to the chairs that I was talking about before. You could take a shoe. I mean, look at the shoe you're wearing now. And think of the other shoes that you have in your closet at home. And think of the shoes that your husband or your wife, your partner, your friend, your children have. Think of the shoes that your friends have. Lots of different things that we call shoes. And then some of them are boots. You see, and there are things we put on our feet, you see. Well, I could put boots on my feet. I put slippers on my feet. I put shoes on my feet. What I have in mind, to be silly but helpful, is a notion of shoeness. I have in mind a notion of shoeness. I know what a kind of a shoe is, more or less. Now, we can take something different if we want to come, for instance, to the question of language. Imagine love. Take a word like love. Seemingly unproblematic. Not that love itself is not problematic, but the word. If I say, I love my wife, and I say, I love a good meal. And I love the novels of a certain author. And I love a nice bottle of wine. And I love the Notre Dame football team. Now, I dare say none of those statements occasioned any confusion. You understood me. But I suspect that, for example, the love I feel for my wife and the love I feel for the Notre Dame football team are not the same thing. They actually cause some trouble once in a while. But that's quite a different matter indeed. Presumably, my love for novels and my love for wine is rather different. So what is this thing love? Well, you see, I have a notion, as it were, let's be silly again, of loveness, of which I see in the world many imperfect manifestations. But there is finally this thing love. It exists, and I can communicate something about it. Now, Plato speaks in various places of an immortal soul, which is eternal, which has knowledge of the eternal, which has knowledge of the transcendent world, and somehow it communicates that hint, that spark of knowledge to each person. Because otherwise, you would certainly be asking yourself, how do I know anything about this transcendent world? Where do I get this idea of shoeness or chairness or loveness? Where does that come from? Well, it comes in some vague sense. Plato is not very clear about this. It comes in some vague sense through this world soul. Now, in the Republic, Plato also reflects a bit on the human soul before it's imprisoned in a body. And on the kind of state that properly arrayed souls might produce. So now, turn to the question of what's the moral life? Plato thinks a bit about the soul, and he says